It's one of those days today where everything seems to go wrong. Yeah, you know those kind of days, don't you? They happen quite regularly. The one that was going to read the scripture is now out the back doing the Sunday school because the people doing the Sunday school are unwell. So there you have it. I'm going to read the scripture. It's taken from Matthew chapter 4. It's probably a familiar one to all of us. Jesus being led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And I just want you to just think about that as I read. Why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? Why would he do that? Why would he do it? The enemy was there. There was no substance for his body. Why would he lead him through that time of fasting, knowing that the enemy would come and meet him there and tempt him in ways that we can't even begin to imagine? You know, he was tempted in like ways as us. Not to say that he endured the kind of temptation that James talks about. He had no inward sin. But he knew what temptation was. And he overcame the tempter, you see. Sorely tempted. And temptation is a very, very big, big area. Temptation is not just naughty but nice. Do you remember those TV adverts where they're a cream donut or whatever it was, a cream bun with a jam, and as you watched it, you'd start drooling, thinking, oh, and they go, naughty, but no. I know, you know, don't you? You know. I certainly know. I have the evidence to prove that I know. Naughty but nice. I want to tell you, temptation, that's part of temptation. We can be tempted in so many different ways. We can be tempted with things that aren't appealing. Have you ever feared? Have you ever feared? Have you ever been in terror? Have you ever doubted? Have you ever been in unbelief? Have you ever suffered temptation? If he can't get you with the naughty but nice, he'll get you with the other. He'll tempt your reasoning. He'll tempt your imagination. He'll tempt you in your will. He'll tempt you in so many different ways, you see. He'll tempt you with depression if you're susceptible there. Temptation. But you see, Jesus overcame the tempter. And just in case you think, hang on a minute then. So if you're telling me that he wasn't tempted in the way as James talks about, the lust. Inside we could read that. There's no need because I don't want to go there. But then he doesn't really know my temptation. Does he? Because he doesn't know what lust is. Well, I want to tell you he does. He knows what it is because he bore it in his body on the tree. He was crucified, so he knows. He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. He knows everything about you Every atom that makes up your body, he knows. He knows every thought that you're plagued with. He knows every feeling that you've ever been swept away with. He knows every single trial. He knows the terrain of this terrestrial ball. Oh, that was a good one. Actually, that was part of my notes. I remembered it. I didn't just come up with the terrain. He knows. Ye who tread where he has trod, crown him the Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. Son of God, deity. Son of Man, humanity. He did it as Son of Man. Otherwise, there would have been no way through for me and you. He overcame temptation as Son of Man, so that we could overcome. We who are sons of men could overcome as sons of God, you see. He overcome. Let's read it. Let's read it. Oh, King, he's a champion. A champion. A champion not in his own strength, but in the power of God's Spirit. A champion. Here it is. He'd just been baptized. The voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He'd arrived. There it was. He journeyed. He was a baby boy. And he'd been through learning the lessons, abiding in the Word, growing in strength, growing, and there it was, this is my Son. This is my Son. Now remember, he was Son of God, and he became a Son of Man. Well, hang on a minute. Did he become a man? He did become a man, but he first became a baby. And there's a sense in which God the Father could have said, here is my beloved Son. Of course. But there's a difference between a baby and a son. And a man, and a father, and a... You see the progression. And so the Son of God came as a baby, and he outworked it all in human flesh. Outworked it all. And there, and he goes through this, and he goes through that. We don't know much about his childhood, do we? Not really. But then he gets to this place and John the Baptist is heralding his coming, and then he goes to be baptized, and then there's this great voice that comes out that bears witness to his Son. Now this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I wonder if Jesus felt on top of the world, so to speak, just, and it was all good. And then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Oh no, on the mountaintop. Son, I've got to take you through there, because if I don't take you through the wilderness, if you don't learn how to overcome him here, you'll never do it there. little by little, step by step, overcoming. Oh, does it sound a bit like your life and mine? Little by little, step by step. I'm not very good at this Christian walk. Little by little, whoop, step by. Oh, I've blown it. I failed. Am I written off? Thank you. Someone that knows what it's like to fail. Sorry, I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. Praise God. Forgiveness, you see. Why do you think John said about little children? I write to you, little children. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. Look, know this, babies. Not calling you all babies, by the way, but there are some among us that have known the Lord a little time. Know this, your sins are forgiven you. It's all right. You fall into sin. You succumb to temptation. It's okay. Your sins are forgiven you. But I want you to become a young man. I want you to become a young man who's strong. My word abides in you. Does this scripture sound familiar? It's in 1 John. It's the first chapter of 1 John. My word abides in you. You know, in the wilderness, we should have read it. We will read it. He overcame the enemy. How? The word of God. The sword of the Spirit. That's how he did it. And that's how we do it. And John says, I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. You want to overcome the wicked one, you've got to have the word of God abiding in you. And I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the person of Christ. But I am talking about this too. And then he goes on to fathers. I write to your fathers because you've known him who was from the beginning. Now I know that he writes to the little children who knows him from the beginning too. Because there's a sense in which when we're born of the Holy Spirit, we know our sins are forgiven. And there's just an instinctive knowledge, an instinctive kind of, yeah, I'm your baby. I'm your child. I know it, you hold me in your arms. You feed me the sincere milk. Little children, young men, fathers. And I often think of that scripture. Coach, let's read it, shall we? Just so that you know, I'm not spinning you a yarn here. Chapter 2 of 1, the Epistle of John. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to your fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You see, Jesus was born the infant, that he might journey to the infinite, I'm not saying he wasn't God to begin with. I'm not saying that. But he outworked it in his humanity so that when we look at him, the person of Jesus, we see the express image of the Father. There it was, baby, young man, everlasting Father, you see. His journey, there. And I just want to encourage us this morning with this. That God, according to his sovereign will, allows us to pass through the trial. He allows us the opportunity to overcome the tempter, that we might grow into this full stature, that we might share in his victory. He went before, he's the way. I am the way. And I want you to follow me in the way. And if it be necessary for you to endure that trial, Peter talks about it, doesn't he? If it be necessary that you endure the fiery trial before you, that the genuineness of your faith, and so he goes on, you see, bringing us through, that the genuineness of our faith, that our sonship might be approved, if you like. That I've worked in you by the Holy Spirit might be worked out of you. Oh, let us mature into the full stature of Christ. I didn't say when I called you to follow me that you didn't have to take up your cross. Oh, I didn't say there was no joy either. And I didn't say that there was no love, did I? I said I'll shed abroad my spirit, the love of my spirit in your heart. You'll have joy unspeakable, full of glory, even amidst the sorrow and the difficulty. I've got to bring you through. Do you know, there's no other way. There's no other way. I remember, I think I mentioned it a few months ago, when I was really going through a fiery trial. And I came into the church. I was only young. I was 18. And I just felt it was the end of me. And there was a prophecy. And a man just said this. Just opened his mouth and he said, "This is the only way I could bring you. There was no other way. Where are you? Where are you in life?" You see, there's something about Amy Carmichael. She wrote something. I can't remember the whole thing. She said it so much more poetically than I'm about to. But she said this: "Here's the sun on the horizon, and there we are all along the beach. And there's a ray of the sun's light to every single one of us. Every single one of us. Now, I can't hop on your light and walk. That's yours. To Christ, you see. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am before you, Christ." Don't for one minute think that I'm saying there's many ways. No, there's one way, it's Christ. "But I'm before you where you are, in your situation, in your circumstance, in your job, in your trial, in your test, in your, wherever you are, whatever you're suffering, whatever's happening to you, I'm there before you and I'm the way. Walk in me. I can't bring you any other way, for this is where you are, and this is where I am. And the only way for you to come to me is this way. You've got to come this way. I'll give you strength. As you recognize your weakness, I'll give you all the strength that you need. I'll give you all the joy beyond all that you can imagine. I'll give you all that in the sorrow. Why? Because I inflict sorrow on you? No. Because I design the trial for you? No. I don't design the trial for you to walk in. Just like I don't tempt you with sin. Temptation is of the tempter, the devil. God is neither tempted or will he tempt. Get that clear. God doesn't dangle sin in front of you and go, let's see if she or he's going to stumble. You stumbled. You failed. Who does that sound like? The enemy. He doesn't tempt you. And I want to tell you this, he didn't design that trial for you. Are you sick? He never inflicted sickness on you. Have you lost something? He never took it from you. But we live in a sin-sick world. Here we are, we were born into it. And there was sin in us, and there's sin outside of us. And he's going to renew the heavens and the earth. But there's an outworking of it. We live in the continuum of time. You're going to have persecutions because I'm persecuting you. No. They're a matter of fact, they're life. This is life. And I may, if it's at all possible, to bring you through gloriously, I may deliver you out. But I may require the endurance through that you might be approved sons and daughters of God. This is the way Jesus went. This is the way he walked, knowing what a good, good father he had. And he didn't attribute all this and all that and all the other, that's my father doing it to me. Did he? But there's somehow an understanding in the great sovereignty of God that he works all things together for good. And he may bring me by way of that wilderness to prove that man can go through not dependent on bread alone, but live by every word of God. He proved it was possible because he went through. And we in our little ways and our little wildernesses and our little trials and our little overcomings share in that great victory. You know, sometimes I look back over my life. It's not that long. I'm only 40-something or other, but I've been through a few things. When I went through them, they were agony. But when I look back, I praise God that he brought me through. for they built the substance of God in me. Think of a gym. I mean, I don't like to think of a gym, to be honest with you. But think of a gym. Not Jim. A gym. I'd like to think of Jim, actually. He was quite a nice guy. But he went to the gym, actually. Now, and he... Jim, there it is, a gym. And there's the weights and there's a... You know, and in I go. Flabby old me. And I have to tell you the truth. If there was a machine there that I could rig myself up to and it would go and exercise my muscles for me, then I would go straight for that one. I'd sit down. I'd have a burger. Actually, I do like exercise, but I'm just not very good at it at the moment. But you see, no... I've got to do my weights, you see. I've got to do it. And as I do it, what happens? The flab disappears and the muscles come. Apparently that's what happens. Is that what happens, Robin? It's true, isn't it? If it's true in those things, how much more is it true in the things of God? Jesus is the truth. Why? Well, as Son of God, he always was, always is. He is the truth. Yes? But as Son of Man, he outworked that truth. And he proved it to be true because he overcame every lie. He's the resurrection. Why? Because he died and he rose again. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He's the life because he overcame death. Is it honorary? No, is that the right word? Honorary, honorary, ary. They're not honorary titles for Jesus. They're not just attributed to him. They're not fake, they're not fables. He proved them to be true. He won the battle. Therefore, he is victorious. You see, there it is. I'm the way. I'm the way. Come on, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Now, if you know your scriptures, you'll know all of the things that I'm talking about because I'm just going like that and like that and like that. And if you really know them, you'll get the context of them too. And you'll know that what I'm saying is true. Fight the fight. Overcomers, Revelation, all about overcoming. Overcome. And this is what John says. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. Therefore, you've overcome the wicked one. He didn't write to little children and say, and you're strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one, did he? He said, your sins are forgiven you and the enemy may come and you may trip up and it may be difficult, but come on, I'm going to prove you the sons of God. And if you trip up and make a mistake, you can just acknowledge this, that you're not the saviour of the world. And you can plead on the blood and say, oh Lord, wash me, wash me. And you can get up and you can go again. For the Lord would have you victorious over the enemy. Not as greatly victorious as he was, but in him you can share that victory as you overcome, as you learn the lessons, and as you pass the test. Has anyone ever done a test before? I've done a few and I've flunked a lot. How does that work? Done a few, flunked a lot. Anyway, I've done some tests. Now, those tests that I passed because I learnt the lessons. I learnt the lessons and I passed the test. Now, I know there are some among us probably that are so clever that they just passed the test. You see, I remember having this conversation with my dad. We were feeling sorry for ourselves. And we said, some people just have a good pedigree, don't they? They're just good. You know, they just are. And others of us just aren't. You know, and they're so good. You know, the worst, I think that the worst thing they might do is, I don't know, get a little something wrong somewhere. I don't know, I remember someone told me a story of she forgot to hand out the registers at school. Was it? Yes. Little goody two shoes. And the Lord loves you. Praise God. As a child. Oh, I'd have loved you in my class. I would have loved you. I would have adored you. Oh. Mr. Sergeant, I forgot to take the registers round. Well, my dear, if that's the only wrong thing you do in your life, you're doing very well. You see, there are those that make mistakes. It's the worst thing you'll ever do, you'll be all right. But you see, some of us were pulling out the fags in the backyard there and having fights and doing all this. I can see some smiles. Oh no, you're all goody two shoes, aren't you? Anyway, so you see, I was just a bit of a rogue, a bit of a rebel. But there were others, they had good pedigrees and they seemed to just make the right choices, and every now and then they'd forget to hand the registers out or get the tea and coffee mixed up or something. Well, there you are and there I am, and come on, I'm the way before you. Walk in me. Walk in me. I'm before you. Walk in me. I've accomplished it all. I've won it all. And I want you to share in my victory. The Lord said that to me once, some years ago, when I just said, I cannot believe this. Why am I plagued with these thoughts and those thoughts and these feelings and those feelings? And you know what? The Lord could have said, well, it's because that part of your life isn't sanctified. But he didn't. He's too good. And he said to me, Wes, it's because I want you to share in my victory. I want you to know what it's like. I want you to know what it's like to overcome him. I want you to know what it's like to be able to resist him. Don't you want to share in it? Don't you want to know what it's like? Don't you want to know what I'm like? As I build that in you, build that substance, build that overcoming. It's life. Now you see, I could stand up here and I could say, you know what? Come on, be a Christian. You'll have all the money you want in the world. You'll have all the health. You'll have everything good. I'll prosper you in every way. Do you know that's true? He does prosper us in every way. Don't worry about persecution. You don't need to do. You don't need to worry about that. Don't worry about the fiery trial. you don't need to pass through that. No. I'll roll out a lovely fluffy cotton woolen silk pathway for you. Ooh. Oh. Oh, I'm indulging my flesh. This is lovely. Let me just sleep a little while. As my servants tickle my feet. I love being tickled my feet. It's lovely. I try and get the kids to do it. Oh, lovely. It's true though, isn't it? Do we really think that? I tell you what, if you're the Lord's and you're going to stand up and be counted, and if you're going to mature in this Christian walk and become sons so that you're not soiling your nappy at the age of 15, yes, come on. Yes, come on, walk. Walk with me, overcome. Overcome, pass through. But know this, I will never tempt you, though the tempter might seek occasion. And I promise I'll deliver you out of temptation. Temptation that you can't bear. Of course, the problem is that we don't think we can bear very much. Come on, come on, overcome, come on. Know what it's like. Share in my victory. Oh. We're all sitting there going, oh no, oh no. Well, actually, the truth is most of you will be nodding, saying, yeah. For God has proved himself to me and in me as I've journeyed through this life, and I've had to overcome this, and I've had to overcome that, and I've had to overcome the other. And I've passed through. I got burnt there and I didn't have to. I bear the scars of it. He's beautified it. He's a way maker. He makes a way through. But please know this. He doesn't tempt you. And he doesn't design perfectly the trial before you. As if, yeah. The trial is a consequence of where we are. But he knows how to bring us through unto himself. That we might be approved to him. And I just want to say, oh, come on, let's lock arms together. You know, when one's down, you know, like in a war, where one's down and you look back and you see that one down, you don't go, quick, if I don't run on, I'm not. No, as brothers and sisters, as children of God, we reach out to one another. Let me help you up, my dear brother, my dear sister. Let's lock arms together. Can I share your burden? Can I share? Well, hang on a minute. We're supposed to roll all our burdens onto him. We're also supposed to share one another's burdens. Google it. You'll find it in the scriptures. I'm going to rub that off that tape, Google it. True. Well, we've run out of time. I didn't even read the scripture. I'm so sorry. But we did refer to many. And we'll come back to this journey through the wilderness. And look at some of these things in more detail and more depth. I suppose in some ways we've covered the will of the Father today. Well, I want to look at next time the weapons or the warfare of the sun. And then we'll go on to look at the wiles of the wicked one. The will of the Father, the warfare of the Son, and then the wiles of the wicked one. All right, but we'll finish there. We're going to sing Good, Good Father, because I want you to know this. It's okay, I'm not going to go on for another 10 minutes, I promise. I want you to know this. He's a good, good Father. And all goodness and all blessing flows from him to you. And he knows how to be good to you as he brings you through. He knows how to shower his blessings upon you. And he knows how his Spirit can work in your life to bring about joy inexpressible in the trial. He knows how to bring you through an overcomer and to share in the victory his Son. He knows how to approve us all as his sons and his daughters. Amen.